Well, happy Thursday to you. And speaking of Thursdays, hope you had a good Thanksgiving last Thursday and that you have taken care of all the leftovers and now you're preparing for the rest of the year-end holidays and, oh, so many things going on with holiday shopping coming up this weekend. We got market days and alternative Christmas market, and there's going to be a menorah lighting ceremony at Lake Ella on Sunday evening, which is going to be exciting. The menorah being made out of Legos is the rumor on the street. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But anyway, welcome to Perspectives on WFSU. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being a part of the program, either by telephone, which is 850-414-1234, our general number. If you'd like to send us an email, you can. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the address. You can also tweet us at WFSU Perspective. And as we're headed towards the end of the year, an old tune, this was, I think, 1973. Boy, we're dating ourselves here, aren't we? By a guy named Merle Haggard. It was a hit for him, not only on the country charts, but also on the adult contemporary and even the top 40 charts. It was called If We Make It Through December, and it was about the closing of the local factory and how Dad would no longer be able to afford to give his daughter a nice Christmas, all that. It was kind of a tearjerker. It really was. And then bringing us up to date, we hear about the big layoffs that are impending for those GM employees. So let's talk workforce, not in places like Ohio or in the annals of music history, but right here in the Capital Region. And we have some great folks to discuss that today as we get into workforce development and what the future may hold for jobs in our area. And we first welcome back to these microphones Kimberly Moore, Vice President for Workforce Innovation at Tallahassee Community College. And it is great to see you, Kim.
It's great to see you, too. Always, Tom.
You also brought the new director, as of about 2 months ago, for Leon County's Office of Economic Vitality, which is Christina Paredes. Hey, Christina.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me today.
It is wonderful to have you guys here. Well, I was looking at something. We had announced this, week before last, when we had from the Office of Economic Development for the state of Florida, the latest jobless numbers here for the regional unemployment rate for October. And this is the combined Gadsden, Leon, and Wakulla County jobless rate, 2.9%.
Yes.
Now, 3% is considered full employment, so right, we're better than
right,
full.
Right, right.
And we haven't seen that since October of 2006.
Which was certainly before the big recession.
Correct.
So this is a major bounce back for us. So you guys are essentially out of a job, right? You don't have to develop a workforce because everyone's got a job.
You know what? But what that tells us, especially when you're looking at full employment, is that those who remain unemployed right now, that perhaps there was a skills mismatch. There was a skills mismatch in that the desired skill sets that an employer is looking for and those who are seeking employment that remain are not connecting. It's not a match. We also have to think about the pipeline, you know, the companies that will be expanding. So that workforce has to be trained and tooled as well. So not out of business. It's actually a retooling in some instances and then aligning with more of what employers specifically need. Can't be broad, have to be very specific in a full employment.
Well, historically, over the past now, oh my gosh, more than a dozen years, and this is not a political statement, guys, so, you know, don't go off on us here, but under a Republican administration in the governor's mansion and predominantly Republicans in the Florida House and Senate, that usually means a disinclination to expand state government. Right. And now with Governor DeSantis taking over and still majorities of GOP folks in both the House and Senate, it is unlikely that suddenly there will be, hey, we're creating a big new state agency and hiring 10,000 people.
Correct.
This is not going to occur. So, Christina, if we could throw that into the private sector, that is still going to be a major priority for you folks in the Office of Economic Vitality is to get as much private sector employment in here, right?
Absolutely, Tom. When you look at our MSA, our our job growth is 1.9%. However, when you pull the public sector out and you isolate what the private sector job growth is, it's 3.8%. So it's really, and that's been holding steady and climbing over the last couple of months. And it's really impressive to be able to see that job growth in our entire MSA.
Wow. Well, what are the major categories of job growth that you're looking at then, Christina?
It's being fueled by our financial activities, professional and business services, leisure and hospitality, and construction. But that construction number does not yet include the impact that Hurricane Michael will have to the area.
Now, that was a big thing I remember coming off of back in, in 04 and 05, when the massive reconstruction of the Panhandle and other parts of Florida was the big deal after all those storms. So is that what you're seeing also at TCC there,
Kim?
You know
what? There's a huge push, honestly, with getting that workforce back in place, because a lot of it, when the bubble burst, a lot of the workforce was dispersed among a variety of different places and areas, and some folks were retooled and trying to get back to that speed. So not only did we need that prior to Hurricane Michael, we need it even more now to have that trained workforce.
So if it's a Tallahassee Community College, Lively Vocational, are those resources available to train
Absolutely.
That workforce?
Absolutely. Those are technical programs, and making sure that, you know, for us, we have HVAC and we have the CNC welding and machining and things like that. And we even have the Masonry Apprenticeship Program. But yeah, certainly the partnership between a number of institutions to bring that workforce back to local employers, because you'll hear it for some of the electrical work that, you know, employers are saying that, wow, it's going to be, you know, it's a 2-year waiting list to get this talent because we don't have the workforce. So it's, again, being more in tune and more than ever before, making sure that there are conversations happening with employers and the industry and education to make sure that training programs are what they that are in place are what they need, and if not, being able to pivot.
Okay, now that pivot is an important thing too, because if you are just coming out of high school, mm-hmm. and you are beginning a career training situation, that's one thing.
Yes.
But if you have been in a certain career path, you know, and you're now in your 40s, 50s, that gets a little more problematic to
Don't
make that pivot.
Don't want to change. Yeah. It's called change. So, yeah, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So what are the programs available to help those folks who, you know, my God, I can't do this anymore. I have to do something else.
Well, you know what? There are great resources. When I think about Career Source Capital Region, our Regional Workforce Board, and the programs that they deliver with helping individuals to retool, as well as the educational institutions that fully understand how to take what you have, add to it to make you more marketable and to get you back out there. I think that's the winning piece. And the bigger part of awareness, because again, in these situations, those individuals impacted have not had to worry about or even think about these resources, but making sure that they are aware of what they are and how they can be served.
Christine, talk about this. When you have, and this is the holy grail, of course, everyone's looking for new business and industry to move into an area. But if you at the Office of Economic Vitality get a feeler from a company somewhere and they say, hey, you know, this is very much on the QT, we don't want to tip mm-hmm. our hand too early, but could you give us a handle on what kind of workforce you guys have available in the capital region. Is that part of what you guys do?
Oh, absolutely. It's a key driver. Workforce is probably one of the most competitive assets that we have out there. Human capital is our number one product, as being home to two major research universities, and the strong connections that we have with TCC and Lively help drive that a lot. So we're able to give them a picture of what the labor force looks like in that industry that they're in to help inform their decision making.
So looking at, without, again, tipping our hand or violating any confidentiality things, do we have any prospects in the pipeline that you can or even can't talk about right now?
We do. We have 16 active projects right now in our pipeline. The majority of those are coming in our transport or manufacturing and logistics, and that's directly related to the efforts that we're pushing with our applied sciences and magnetics efforts as well. We have a distribution company that is interested in ours, an IT company. Those are probably two of the hottest right now in our pipeline.
Okay, and you get up with Kim and say, hey, we need so-and-so, such-and-such. Can you guys tool up a program at TCC or any of the other facilities to provide that?
I think that absolutely that's what occurs, and I believe that's the secret sauce for our magic and connection here. Those conversations happen early on. You're a part of having the conversations with the employers, not only about their immediate needs, but also about the future needs, so that they know that if they come, that it's also a conversation about expansion. And the same thing happens with existing businesses, too. So I believe the level of collaboration is what drives and what will continue to drive the success seen here.
And they seem to build on one another. I'm thinking specifically because we took a little trek last week up to see our daughter in Atlanta, and around, it was probably up past Cordele. I'm trying to think of the name of the small town along I-75. They had, maybe 2 years ago, a major company move in to put a distribution center there, and this gigantic building with dozens and dozens of bays for trucks to come in and get their stuff and then move out. There are now three more other companies. So once you have one, it kind of snowballs a bit.
That's precisely the type of effort that we're hoping to focus on, that cluster development with applied sciences and advanced manufacturing. So when we're looking at what are our unique access to Tallahassee, what makes us globally competitive, and very quickly we looked towards the research and the facilities out and around Innovation Park area, and the Mag Lab is something that we're globally superior in. So how do we take that resource and that asset and turn it into building a business cluster? And it's having key champions in the industry itself, such as Ricardo Schneider with Danfoss and the Magnetic Task Force, which is sat around the table with both private and public sector to talk about and help guide those efforts. So we brought on board a woman that got her PhD here at FSU from HPMI, Rebecca Sweat, and she's leading our business development activities in that. And workforce is going to be a huge component to staff these businesses as we're able to bring them through. We're 30 days into the effort, and we already just got our first round of companies that we're in the process of qualifying and walking through right now.
Watch this space. More to come on that. We are talking workforce development here on today's Perspectives program on WFSU. Are you contemplating a career change, perhaps, or is there a young person in your life who is looking to make a career in future? Why not give us a call, 850-414-1234, and we'll be right back. Workforce development, what we're talking about here on Perspectives as we continue to kind of make that, and I love that term, Kimberly Moore, you brought up, pivot. We are still on a long-term pivot in this community away from the traditional state government employment and the working for the universities, which remain just a critical part of the overall, but we're, you know, you diversify the old portfolio and that makes you more resilient.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is something else. My boss, Kim Kelling, brought this up to us. Something called the Local College Access Network, which is affiliated with TCC and has a bunch of interesting folks on the mailing list for this. What exactly is this initiative here?
So that particular initiative is one that's in place in different pockets throughout the state of Florida, and it looks at ways to engage community and others on the importance of education and how, whether you're in economic development or whether you're in you know, private sector, that you understand the push that we're on and how the workforce has to be developed. And it may not be an area where we've oftentimes thought about it. Maybe it's not going to be degree focused. It gives each community an opportunity to create an initiative or an effort around what their need is in that specific area. So it's customized, tailored to the community.
And that means that you now are looking at not just either or. I recall when you were in high school, you went on the academic track if you were going to go on to college or university, or you were on the vocational track if you were going to be an auto tech or something like that. Now it's kind of, you got to combine those in some way.
You got to combine them and realize that there are multiple pathways to success, many on-ramps and off-ramps, because it's a conversation about lifelong learning. That's not even to mention and throw into that whole conversation the new economy, which looks at the gig economy and jobs and entrepreneurship, because that's going to be the pathway for a number. When you think about millennials and others, it's not even going to be the two paths that you mentioned, that really broadening the mindset of all involved, that multiple pathways. How do we make sure that in this 21st century that the mindset that we create in that workforce, whether you've been out there for some time or whether you're in our K-12 system now and moving on to post-secondary, that it will be this constant change, this constant addition of new skills and new tools, but that's where we are. So I think that effort recognizes it, as well as, you know, a Career Pathways Council initiative that we have, looking at how do we all work collaboratively to ensure that our workforce will indeed be the best one.
Well, no, go ahead, Christine.
I was just going to say, I really like how you say the on-ramp and the off-ramp, because if we all started out with our very first job, I mean, we wouldn't be sitting at the table having the conversation today. So it's important to help educate everyone, because from all walks of life, just there are many pathways towards success. And if you start out on the low rung of the ladder, that doesn't mean you're always going to be there, and you can't jump to another ladder. So how do you move throughout your career is very important. And I think the good work that you're chairing with the Career Pathways is a great example of that.
Well, but that also means then, Christina, what you have to do as an economic developer or a business and industry attractor is maybe to bring in even more jobs. Because with a gig economy, you may have people multitasking over a number of positions. I'm thinking of a young man of my acquaintance right now. And it's not like he has three full-time jobs, but he has maybe four or five, a couple hours here, a few minutes there, and he's bouncing all over the place. He's a very busy guy, but you put them all together and he has one full job probably.
We are very focused on diversifying our economy from all different sectors, especially those in our targeted sectors, which is healthcare, professional and IT, advanced manufacturing, and applied sciences, which is the magnetic effort that we spoke about earlier.
All right. And even going back into the technology of the 1800s here, as we recently announced and you had confirmed for us, thank you very much, the discussions with Rail USA and continuing the tradition of Tallahassee actually being a railroad town, perhaps not the way it was back in the seaboard days, but we're still going to have freight trains through here.
Absolutely, yes. Rail USA is going through the process right now of purchasing the CSX rail line between Pensacola and Jacksonville area, and they're looking to headquarters here in Tallahassee. So we're in conversations now with them to see how we can help support that effort.
And if you've always wanted to drive a train or to dispatch freight cars or something, there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Here's your opportunity.
And do you have certifications for engineer training at TCC, Kimberly?
No, I don't. But you know what? The great thing that I like about workforce development, it's flexible. So it's never a period. It's comma and what comes next. So,
well, how do you see not only TCC and Lively, but also our two four-year institutions, four-year plus, I should say, because of all the graduate degrees and all that, but forming those bonds even more tightly than perhaps they are now?
I will tell you, and I'm glad that Christina and I talked about it just a moment ago or brought it up, but with our Career Pathways Council, that's an initiative that's actually through the Career Source Capital Region Workforce Board. It's a required council, not only for our workforce board, but across the United States. So it talks about bringing educational institutions, not just, you know, post-secondary like we just mentioned here, but also K through 12. So in regards to our council, if you will, and we've been up and running now for a little bit over 2+ years, it involves having a conversation about pipelines. So starting from K through 12, what's going to be your commitment and your effort tied to workforce development? These are the trends that are going on now. What role will you play? Then transitioning to whether it be the technical school with Lively or with post-secondary with TCC as the college, and then our university partners. What roles can we each play? What's our capacity? How do we not duplicate the effort? How do we make sure that when we are focused on training that we're doing it in a collaborative way so that whether it's an economic development partner, an employer, or parent, they can quickly see visually that here is a ladder of how do you move through these different industries. You can start one point, but certainly you can end at another. And attaching wages to that, because I think probably some of the disconnect that's happened over time is just that, you know, if you didn't know someone in your family that held a particular job, then you're not likely to tell John, Jill, Kim that this could be your future. Now it's how do we broaden that for them in a way that they can process it and see a future as well as attach that I can have a livelihood with it. So I think believe that the relationships that we have right now are as strong as they've ever been before, and know that, you know, we're going to continue to do collaborative efforts. Yeah, there aren't the silos. Yeah.
So... by the way, 850-414-1234, the number here for Perspectives, talking workforce development. And you might want to talk about, have you had an interesting career switch somewhere along the way? When you were a kid, you thought, I'm going to do this. And maybe you did do that for a number of years. And then suddenly something happened at some point that took you on a totally different direction. We'd love to hear that story, too. We talked about the gig economy jobs. Are you talking gig students that I'm going to take a course here at Lively for, I don't know, HVAC, but I also need to know something about high-tech magnetics, and FSU has a course in that, but then I'm going to go to TCC because they've got this other... Are we creating that kind of thing?
So here, it's a couple of things, but I'll speak to what you just asked first. So educational institutions, with the nimbleness that has to exist now, the market, the consumers, those who want the education, it has to be presented in much like a menu. So I call it the a la carte piece. Individuals who are interested in getting, you know, maybe just marketing, they don't want a whole degree to pursue that. They want what they need in real time. So when I talk about pivots and being able to move along with that, it goes to that point that each of us has to respond, and it's in a non-traditional way. There are some traditional, but there are a whole lot of not traditional folks now, and how they want their services provided, whether it's online, whether it's in the evening, whether it's in the form of a workshop and not a structured class. So yes, individuals want the ability to pull what they perceive as what they need from each of these institutions. So it's driven by need versus, you know, attached to one. Our goal, and I think with all the conversations that I have with our education partners and collaborating partners, it is how do we meet that need and meet individuals where they are, realizing that it's changed from what we knew it to be. Gig economy speaks more to the entrepreneurial aspect. So when I think about some of the folks that maybe you're a small startup and you don't necessarily have the resources to bring on a full-fledged IT person or someone or lawyer if you need back-end support there, but they are so for individuals that can provide you with that small assistance. Maybe it's a small contract that they'll, you know, develop the collateral that you need. You're not bringing them on full-time, but they're providing that service and meeting that need, and they're doing it just not for one. They're doing it maybe for a host of people, small businesses that may be operating in that space.
Okay, and that sounds, Christina, like some of these, what do we call them, post-DOMI incubators, where you have collaborations of different small entrepreneurial companies that get together and, hey, you can do marketing. Come here. Help me out with this, and then I can help you with that. And
absolutely. Domi's a great space for that. So is a Collab at the Pod, off of Park. They're another great resource of co-working from that capacity. The Center for Innovation that TCC has downtown is also going through some exciting changes, and Innovation Park is as well. So we're seeing the landscape of our incubators and accelerators really going through a metamorphosis over this past quarter as they're moving into their 2.0 phases. And that's because of the growth of our entrepreneurial ecosystem. You can see that by the investment of FSU through the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship and the growing influence that the Jim Moran Institute has in our community as well.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of excitement about this so-called wet lab that is going in at Innovation Park, where folks who have an entrepreneurial need to, I don't know, a new vaccine or whatever, they will actually have laboratory space there to work that stuff out.
Yes, and Innovation Park is awaiting right now whether or not they'll receive the grant that they put in for the Economic Development Agency on the U.S. level. So we hopefully will know by the end of the year if they're successful in that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, there's a huge need for it. There's a lot of businesses that and inventors in that Innovation Park area and surrounding area that could really use that wet lab space.
Because they've had to go to Gainesville, I think, to get it.
Yes,
right?
Sid Martin is the only one, the closest one in our area. And this one will really set us apart and help fill in that void that is needed here.
We have an email address in case you would like to communicate with us that way, perspectives@wfsu.org. And we do have an emailer who said, how do we change parents' perceptions about career and tech education when most parents have bought into that traditional idea that to get a good job, get a good education, go to college, get a degree, rack up debt, whatever, you know.
That little thing, yeah.
That little thing, yeah.
Yeah, so great question. And again, it goes back to having a consistent message. All of those that are in a role to do that, whether it's economic development, education, our employer partners, how those positions are valued. A lot of times, again, if parents haven't seen it or done it, then they can't point Johnny or Jill to it. The other part of it is there's just huge myths about what some industries were and how they remembered it to be, like manufacturing. Oh my gosh, it's all dirty. You're going to end up with... No, it's actually it's a lot of technology. I mean, you go into our manufacturing center, you're not seeing smoke and haystacks or anything like that. You're seeing technology. So realizing and talking to them that, you know what, if you're young person is interested in maybe using their hands, that's exactly what they're interested in doing, then don't limit that, because there are ways and paths, whether it be with machining or welding or whatever the case may be, that they can pursue that and have a good living. Oftentimes there's a concern that their kid will not be able to take care of themselves. They will not be self-sufficient. Where the myth comes in is that oftentimes that when you compare the two, workforce training that is in demand compared to a degree area, then you will see that there is a very close proximity, and oftentimes where it exceeds on the shorter term training, that a person will make a higher wage and be able to be sufficient, self-sufficient, and not only even that, earn a better than average wage. You know, I look at some of our larger companies here tied to HVAC. There's a huge need. Everybody wants air or plumbing. You're never out of a job. So it's having that conversation continuously and meeting parents where they are. What are the concerns that you have? What don't you know? And how do we make sure that you do know that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, I was just going to add, one thing that we are doing too as a region now is the Leon Works Expo. Mm-hmm. That's this March 8th. We moved it from November to March because of the impact that Hurricane Michael had to our area. In the past, it's put on by Leon County Government, and the Office of Economic Vitality is hosting it this year as part of that, with all of our partners, of course. And the goal is to have the education in the room and have the companies in the room so students can really see their pathways to a skilled career. And for the first time ever, we're taking that regional and inviting Wakulla County Schools, Gadsden County Schools, and, of course, Leon County Schools as well. So we're really excited about the expo this year, and there's still plenty of spots if you're interested in exhibiting or want more information. That's all on our website as well, and we're really looking forward to it. And we're taking that conversation a step further this year. You would have had all these businesses in the room talking about and meeting with the talent of the future. So at this point, you're looking at 4 generations in the workplace. So how do we all work together across those generational divide? And we're bringing in a dynamic speaker from Austin, Texas, to help educate businesses on how to work within those generational divides in the workforce. And that'll be held immediately after the Leon Work Expo on March 8th.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because, mm-hmm. again, to our emailers, a specific question. Can you push that discussion even further down, like into the public schools where you're hitting not only the students, but also the parents as well, to let them know that, hey, there are, as you said, Ms. Kimberly, more a lot of different pathways out there.
A lot of pathways, but I think the conversation, you know, who's, when you're thinking about the formative years, who are the kids talking to most often in the schools? It's guidance counselors. Mm-hmm. So even that push and making sure that guidance counselors understand that beyond, you know, what we've all known, you know, 4 year in advance or 2 year in advance, that there are other opportunities that students can pursue. Most students, as it is, work and go to school, but wouldn't it be great that if they didn't have to choose fast food, they could actually choose an area of passion by getting short-term training and further developing that skill and interest that they have? You can do that. I mean, there are lots of programs that are 12 months or less.
Well, that must, it must be getting some traction because mm-hmm. the last auto battery I had installed yeah. was at a local shop here uh-huh. in town. And the young lady who not only took my service order but also did the work was a young lady of color uh-huh. who really knew her stuff. Uh-huh. And we got into a discussion about some other issues I had with the vehicle. And she was incredible. She got me in the right direction. But that is a non-traditional type of worker in that kind of job. Is that part of this, too, to get a broader part of the population in our workforce?
Absolutely, because again, when you point to full employment drives conversations in a whole number of ways, but one, talking about the non-traditional workforce and how to make sure that there's diversity and inclusion throughout. I think about our truck driving program. You know, oftentimes, you know, you have this visual of who that is, but we have lots of ladies that are interested in it and they do a good job. So making sure that we are not limiting in our conversation about what it was, but basically what it is and what it can be.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a quick time out and then back with your calls and email questions here on Perspectives, talking about workforce development in our capital region, because we are technically at full employment, but that does not mean that no one needs a job, because whatever job we have now may change, maybe quicker than we expect. 850-414-1234 is the number to call, or give us an email shout, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. With the upcoming new year, is it a new path for you, perhaps, or someone that you know? Well, that's part of our discussion here on Perspectives as we address workforce issues. And before we go back to the phones and another email that just popped up, you were saying something offline, Kimberly, which is fascinating, too, which is, my gosh, when you have full employment, that really creates a buyer's market as far as
yes.
employment is concerned. These yes. folks, they're hungry for people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that means that they're likely going to have to cannibalize and maybe steal from another employer who needs that skill set by offering a 25 cents more or whatever the case may be, or a different kind of benefit plan. I think the conversation has to be for employers and community and all our stakeholders is how do we make sure that we have a pipeline, that we're continuously developing the talent that they need, and that there's close alignment with our conversation so that it's not once it's at the critical point and you're just, you know, desperation is set in, but it's part of how we do business, that we are an extension of your business. Education has to be, economic development has to be mm-hmm. a part of that extension to make sure that businesses thrive here.
And we're seeing, Tom, the average weekly wage is up 2.9% from the first quarter in 2017. So you are seeing a growth in those wages, too, as the job market gets more competitive.
That's good news, because that had been a big lag that we were seeing, you know, more jobs or people that were looking for to locate in a job here, and the employers weren't keeping up with the wage rate.
Well, this climate will force that. So,
Well, I came back to something you said, and an email here says, "What strategies might we have to create more opportunities for internships, apprenticeships for not only young folks but other potential workers as well? We have those in place, again, with the private sector employers?"
Right. So I will speak to TCC, and then I'll also talk a little bit about the Workforce Board Career Source Capital Region. So for TCC, not only do we have the internship, externships, and job placement assistance, not only for current students, but for former students as well, alumni, we have added the job shadowing component, where you get to try it out, you get to see what it is, again, because of some of the bigger gaps is, I've never seen anybody performing this job. I don't even know what that is. So we've expanded it to include the entire spectrum, again, realizing that if a student does have an expressed interest and they know what direction that they want to go, we want to facilitate them getting a close connection with that employer immediately, even while they're pursuing the education. So internships allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the city and the county also run some apprenticeships or internships as well. The city has their TEMPO program, which is focuses on underserved youth and primarily on the south side. That's an excellent program for employers to utilize, too, as they look to place people. I think Proof is going to be using that as part of their expansion project to get employees through that TEMPO program. And Leon County has their Leon Works apprenticeship program, where they work with the schools to place individuals in skilled areas within county government, too.
That's good information. That may help address a part of Dr. Ed's question. He's waiting here on line one. Hey, Dr. Ed, welcome to Perspectives. Good to hear from you. Hello, Dr. Ed.
Oh, hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. Just too short, but it was great. Look, I sort of caught the tail end of the program, but I don't know everything that's been said before, but I've talked to some of these economic vitality people, and it's interesting, they never want to talk about poverty. They haven't mentioned poverty, and the fact is, poverty in Leon County is increasing. So if all these jobs have been so great, then why is poverty worse now than it has been in the past? And the CDC just came out with data saying that childhood and poverty and uninsured children in Leon County has actually increased. You got more children with no health insurance. If you look at Census Tract 10.01, it has had childhood poverty as high as 80.1%. And it's good that so many jobs out there, because you need two or three of them oftentimes to survive. You look at TMH, they pay reportedly $9.25 an hour to them janitors, $9.25 an hour. How are you going to – that's creating poverty. It's going to create poverty. So this conversation cannot be discussed devoid of considerations of poverty, devoid of considerations of racial disparity, when the unemployment rate for blacks is always more than twice that for whites. And what good is economic development if most of the benefit goes to the top 1%? So these are the kind of things that this Office of Economic Vitality, I call it the Office of Economic Propaganda, but they don't want to talk about it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay, Dr. Ed, thank you for giving us a call here. But let's just address that. The need, of course, to address the income disparity in Leon County, which has been well documented. We have talked about it for a long, long time. How do you get more people, again, into the pipeline, away from poverty and into employment and not just self sustenance, but actually a bit of affluence. How do you do that, Kimberly?
Thank you for that question, and thank you, Dr. Ed, for calling in. So education has to be that vehicle for anyone to transition from where they are to where they like to be. I think it's also the vehicle for not only one generation, but future generations when you're talking about breaking a cycle. I've had the privilege and pleasure of leading the Regional Workforce Board for 8 years before transitioning and transitioning into education. And during that time, what I appreciated about my job most was the variety and the diversity of which I had the responsibility of serving. So not only was it teen parents. Well, not only was it moms or fathers in some instances who were receiving public assistance looking for that brighter future, or dislocated workers or veterans or individuals who may have had it all figured out and may have lost their job due to no fault of their own. The bottom line is that everybody wants and desires the same things. In terms of the solutions and steps of how they get there, it's oftentimes a very different path. What our conversation, I believe, today is about, how do we make sure that people have an awareness, our community has an awareness of what these resources are and that how they connect to them. Being in the space of education and having been in the other space of working with those who are absolute job seekers, may have been unemployed, I recognize that even though things may be offered and available, there are a couple of things. One is motivation and the other is awareness. So motivation, nobody can, I call it, drive that motivation more so than the individual who has that responsibility for themselves. There is certainly the idea of matching motivation, and I believe that that's what our collaborative partners are doing. Relative to awareness, that's everybody's responsibility to create that level of awareness so everyone here in our community can benefit from the resources that are there. Yes, there will always be pockets of poverty, but how we tackle that is what I believe will separate this community. And I think it's, again, it's the conversations that are happening right now, conversation that's been followed by action and effort. And I would engage Dr. Ed and others to continue, if that is what they believe through their perception, that continue that dialogue so that we can move it to the next level. And the people that need to hear and know about these resources, I hope that they're listening. But if they're not, that we will each take it on as our responsibility to get that word out.
Okay, Christine, but Fred, is your thoughts on that?
You know, there's a reason that we're not the Office of Economic Development. We're the Office of Economic Vitality because our focus aren't just on our top employers and top businesses, but also our minority women and small businesses. We have a dedicated division that works specifically with those businesses to help engage and empower them and educate and give them the tools they need to be able to take their business to the next level. So that's a core component of our efforts as well. And to address, you know, what Dr. Ed was speaking about, it's a community issue too, and something that we all need to work together. And we have these conversations together with our partners too, to help lift our entire community. Shifting back to our magnetics and manufacturing efforts, the focus on that is so intense because the jobs that we're talking about aren't just for engineers and researchers. Manufacturers are also need a lot of skilled workforce, and so that runs the gamut of the skill needs for our community, from high-skilled jobs to middle-skilled and low-skilled jobs. That's what these types of manufacturers that we're going after really fit that niche.
And that's the diversity, too, where you have along this continuum from no-skilled to super high-skilled, you've got a wide variety of available positions.
And Tom, that's the pathway approach. So though you may start off as a nursing assistant, there certainly is the next rung of the licensed professional, the licensed practical nurse, or then the registered nurse. So everything, very few people are starting at the top. Mm-hmm. There is a process, and what our goal is to make sure that they understand how to reach each of those rungs and what services are available to support it.
Mark joins us online too here on Perspectives. Thanks for your patience, Mark. Welcome. Hello, Mark. Are you still there, Mark? Go ahead, Mark. Thanks for joining us here. Sure appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. I don't have a few minutes. I'm out of prison in Taylor County teaching for TCC in their vocational program, which is geared towards recidivism reduction through vocational training so that the men that get released back into the communities can find gainful employment and not come back to prison due to poverty.
Boy, that is a terrific program, Mark. What are you finding as far as availability of the types of jobs that many of these former inmates might be able to avail themselves of?
Well, the jobs are there. The particular program that I'm supporting today at Taylor Correctional Institute Annex is carpentry, which has restarted after being closed for 3 years. Governor Rick Scott had decided and made it public that it was important that we get education back into the prisons so that men and women that are released back into the communities can not come back to prison because they can't afford to, or they get into the same lifestyles they had before, and it sets them right back where they were before they left. I also support TCC through their other contracts with other prisons, both Jefferson County and in Liberty County. So I teach OSHA safety for construction, and I support the vocational training, which includes plumbing and electrical, masonry, and carpentry now. So now I've been doing that on and off on a contract basis for a couple of years now.
Well, it's really hard to kind of offshore those kinds of skill sets, right?
Yeah, no, it's something that's right here and now. It's got to be face-to-face. You can't. You can do it online, but it's not as effective as face-to-face because they don't get the real-life exposures and the real-life examples of a personal touch relative to. And that's really what it comes down to is, can you deliver it to them in a way that they can relate it back to their life, not to somebody else's life, because it's their life that you're dealing with and not someone else's. My personal point of view and experience is that after 28 years as a registered landscape architect here in Florida, from the early 80s until the housing collapse in 2008, I was in land development. I got laid off in 08 and decided, well, I've got another whole lifespan of career ahead of me. What do I want to do? So I spent a year looking for a job as a landscape architect, and it just weren't there because there was no land development happening during 09. So I was engaged with the director of workforce development at TCC, and he brought me in. We began a program called the Florida Green Academy. In that academy, we taught people photovoltaics, how to make electricity from the sun. We taught them how to make hot water from the sun. We taught weatherization. We taught OSHA safety for construction. So those were skill sets that I had that I could enhance and parlay into helping the college deliver their workforce programs to help incumbent workers and those that wanted to change careers or get into a new career without having no career experience whatsoever, you know, like right out of post-secondary. So that's my personal experience, and I've been able to parlay that into involvement in energy conservation programs, the local municipality in Tallahassee, working with firms engaged in energy conservation, energy production based on the solar side. There's some partnerships that the college has with some local companies, and also my own teaching of OSHA safety, and both in the college and privately, as well as developing a side business as a handyman using my construction knowledge and skills I've developed over the last 40 years.
Well, with apologies to Kimberly Moore, Mark, it sounds like you are a professional pivoter.
Yeah, but I wanted to get a point.
There you go. That's my example.
I like that.
That's
get
my
the
contribution.
Point across was that, you know, with the proper opportunity and application of current skill sets or existing skill sets, you can parlay those into other skill sets. So I also teach for the college on a contract basis industrial machine repair at the AMTC for TCC in the evening. So that's been a great program, and we're going into our third cohort in January, and hopefully we'll have some students that we can carry through. So, and I teach for that also, as well as manufacturing. I teach an introductory certification course for people that want to get into manufacturing. It's 120 contact hours, but it gives them the opportunity to move into another industry that we don't have a lot of in Tallahassee and the North Florida region, but it is coming, and they need to be prepared for it when it gets here.
Absolutely.
If they don't want to relocate.
That's right. Mark, you also are a mighty multitasker. It is so good to hear from you. And thank you for the update and for the story. We really appreciate that on Perspective. Just a few minutes left. Kimberly Moore, final thoughts from you, ma'am.
Final thoughts. We are in a unique position to do great things in this community, and I think it will be driven by, again, communication, collaboration, and engagement. We are happy to do that with all the partners that are here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I couldn't say it better, Kim. It really is like a community-wide effort, and we appreciate the help of all of our key partners throughout the community. And we look forward to working with them as we continue to promote Tallahassee-Leon County as Florida's capital for business.
Well, given the fact that we are going to need a vibrant and well-skilled workforce for whatever the future may bring, yes. It is good to know that this collaboration is not only underway, but is accelerating and developing as time goes on. So, Kimberly Moore from Tallahassee Community College and Christina Paredes from the Office of Economic Vitality for Leon County, thank you so much for being part of our perspectives today. And happy end of your holidays and happy new year to both of you guys.
Thank you. You too.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today by the incredible Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls, handling all the interconnections on the other side of the glass. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we'll talk about diversity and inclusion. And the discussion will not be about political correctness. It will be about making public and private organizations stronger, more resilient, more innovative, in a word, better. We'll talk then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.